Welcome now to the midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland. As promised, we have some live music for the first portion of our hour, and it has to do with, well, a very famous ghost story, a ghost story that remains mysterious over the years as to exactly what the original author was saying. The original author being Henry James, and taking his cue very heavily from Henry James, was the latter-day composer Benjamin Britten. University of Wisconsin Opera is putting on the Turn of the Screw, and we have several representatives therefrom, including some who will give us some performance insights into this fascinating piece. We have Kyle Knox and David Ronert, for starters, to give us some idea. And I should say ahead of time that some of what you'll hear, you're going to have to sort of back away from your radio for a second and let it sink in, because we're sort of doing the musical equivalent of going from 0 to 60 on you here. Bear with us, though, and you will find it rewarding. So, David Ronert, Kyle Knox, welcome back.
Nice to see you, Norman.
Thanks.
And so the Turn of the Screw, Benjamin Britten, and the premise is creepy. If you like ghost stories, this is gothic. It's certainly ethereal, strange, great ghost story.
Shall I set up the story?
Yeah, just give us, you know, the sort of the, what would you say, Oscar acceptance speech length setup.
Right, and I'll get the answer correct this time.
As right, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The setup for the Turn of the Screw is a young governess is hired to come to a country house in England and take care of two children, whose absent uncle is basically in charge of them, but she is instructed to arrive, take care of the kids, and not to communicate with the absent uncle. So, in addition to the two kids at the house, there is also their older housekeeper, Mrs. Gross. So the governess arrives, and things are going well at first. She gets on well with the children. It's a beautiful place. She's feeling quite at home. And then things start happening. The first excerpt that we're going to hear is in the scene called The Tower, where the governess is enjoying a beautiful evening outside in the summer, and right after our soloist Katie Anderson stops singing this excerpt, she notices someone up in the tower of the house where they are, and that turns out to be a ghost.
Okay, here we go.
Great dream.
Anderson with one of the excerpts. It's the governess, in fact, in that case, having seen a ghost in The Turn of the Screw. That's a 1954 opera by Benjamin Britten that University of Wisconsin Opera is putting on. And before we get away, we should hear about when this is happening. Kyle Knox will tell us.
Right. Well, the novel was written in 1898, but we're setting it 20 years later.
We performance start times.
Performance times. Oh, okay. Performance times. Oh, excuse me. Right. My mom always told me I overthought things. So, yeah, there we go. Yeah, so we have Friday at 7:30, this coming Friday, March 3rd
so soon.
At 7.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Sunday at 3 p.m., and the following Tuesday night, March 7th at 7:30 p.m. Again, all at Music Hall.
Music Hall, a great place for a ghost story.
Yeah, it really is.
Operatic or otherwise.
I've been there late at night myself.
Yeah, believe you me. Right. Yeah, it's contemporary with Henry James Music Hall. Well, okay, so we've established that there are ghosts in this. There are children and ghosts, a great combination always in a gothic thriller. And you have child actors in this production?
We do. We have one. We have two boys alternating the role of Miles. Mm-hmm. There is the other child is a girl,
right.
And that role is being played by two of our undergraduates.
Oh, okay. And what about the ghosts?
Well, so the governess sees this man up in the tower, and she tells, in the next scene, she tells Mrs. Gross she at first thinks that it's an intruder, that there's someone.
Well, it is.
Right, who shouldn't be there, obviously. She is unnerved by that and tells Mrs. Gross, the housekeeper, and describes the man. And Mrs. Gross, you will see in the next excerpt, identifies the man to be Peter Quint. She also talks about how Peter Quint, the former valet in the house, had a relationship with the former governess, Miss Jessel. Both of them have since died. And when the governess hears that, she realizes that she's seen a ghost. Because at first she thought she just saw a man. But Mrs. Gross identifies Peter Quint as the person she saw, so it must have been a ghost. And the plot develops from there. I think we should hear the next excerpt where that interchange happens. Mrs. Gross narrates the story of a little bit of who Peter Quint was, the former valet, and Miss Jessel, the former governess, and what their relationship was like, and what Peter Quint might be doing.
Here we go.
White and queer. What's happened?
I have been frightened. What was it? What was it?
A man looked through the window. A strange man, but I saw him before. On the tower.
No one from the village.
No.
A gentleman then.
No.
Quint, Peter Quint. master's valet, left here in charge. It was not for me to say, miss, no indeed. I had only to see to the house. But I saw things elsewhere I did not like. When Quint was free with everyone, with little Master Miles.
Miles!
Hours they spent together.
Miles.
Yes, miss, he made free with her too, with lovely Miss Jessel, governess to those pets. Those angels, those innocent babes, and she a lady so far above him. Dear God, is there no end? But he had ways to twist them round his little finger. He liked them pretty, I can tell you, miss. And he had his will morning and night.
But why did you not tell your master? Write to him, send for him to come.
I dursn't, he never liked worries. 'Twas not my place, they were not in my charge. Quint was too clever. I feared him, feared what he could do. No, Mr. Quint, I did not like your ways. And then she went. She couldn't stay, not then. She went away to die.
To die! And Quint,
he died too.
Died!
Fell on the icy road, struck his head, lay there till morning, dead. Dear God, is there no end to his dreadful ways?
I know nothing of these things. Is the shutter place the wicked world? For things that spoken of can this much I know, things have been done here that are not good, and have left a taste behind them. That man, impudent, swore the bread. Mrs. Frost, I am afraid, not for me, for Miles. He came to look for Miles, I'm sure.
Understand
what I say is no. I must protect the children. I must guard their quiet and their guardians too. Save what I save. Oh, what I know that they may see.
Understand a word of what you say, but I'll stand by you, Lord, miss, indeed I will.
A conversation. A musical one, obviously, between the governess and Miss Jessel in Benjamin Britten's Turn of the Screw, based on the celebrated ghost story by Henry James. And in case you haven't noticed, of course, the opera is in English, which gives you a leg up on, understanding what's going on in the storyline. Super titles not necessary.
Or will you have? We are using super titles.
Well, I was wondering about that, David, because actually a lot of times when you're watching something in English, it helps to have them anyway, for one reason or another. So that would make it that much easier to follow what's going on.
Yeah, a lot of this, a good portion of this text is kind of poetic, so that helps as well when you're seeing it.
So we have one more. This will be the duet between Mrs. Gross and the governess.
Actually, we just heard the duet between Mrs. Gross and the governess.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah,
right.
You pulled
the switch
on me.
Mrs. Gross revealed that information. The governess now
feels... I opened
the
wrong envelope.
So the governess now feels like she is a little bit in over her head with this ghost. We discover that Miss Jessel, the ghost, is around too. Peter Quint and Miss Jessel both have relationships not clearly defined with each of the kids. Peter Quint with Miles, Miss Jessel with Flora, the girl. Fast forward, the governess decides that she will stay and not leave the situation and try to defend these kids and do what is right. And then she changes her mind and she's about to leave when she sees Miss Jessel, the ghost, in the schoolroom sitting at her own desk.
She is here in my own room. Here my tragedy began. Here revenge begins. Nearer and nearer she comes from the lake, from the stair. The desk.
Well, there's a good ghostly, ghastly finale there at the end of that. It's all from The Turn of the Screw, 1954 opera by Benjamin Britten. Britten, a fascinating composer who could write both very angular stuff and then something as smooth and mellow and curb-appealing as The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra.
That's true.
Man of many parts, and for this particular assignment, he certainly cut to the heart of the edginess that is in the original story.
Right. We should say we didn't get to sing a lot of the more immediately accessible tonal elements of this opera, of which there's a lot of that music as well. There's a lot of wonderful music for children. Some of it is pure and some of it is kind of ironic in its commentary, but really it's a very accessible piece, especially dramatically, the totality of it
sure.
all.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fairly small cast, am I remembering correctly?
Just six singers and 13 instrumentalists.
That's right.
Well, our instrumentalists today, using their vocal instruments, were Anna Pullen and Kayla Roche and Katie Anderson, and the pianist for the occasion, Daniel Fung. And with me also have been the director of the Turn of the Screw performances. That would be Kyle. And also with us... David Ronert, who is sort of the master behind the whole thing. Is that right?
Technically speaking, I'm the stage director and Kyle is the music director. The
Kyle Knox is the music director and you're the stage director. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for sharing some insights into Benjamin Britten and The Turn of the Screw with us.
Of course.
University Opera, showtimes again?
Friday, this coming Friday, March 3rd at 7:30. Sunday the 5th at 3 p.m. and Tuesday the 7th at 7:30, all at Music Hall on campus.
Music Hall.
Thanks for having us, Norman.
Thanks for stopping by again. And thanks also to Peter Bryant and to Tom Blaine for bringing this music and information your way.